Our next case this morning is Earls against Barnhart. And at this point, we have to have another person join our telephone network because Mr. Mulvaney, who is representing Mr. Earls, cannot be here this morning. It's easier with a wireless internet connection. Mr. Mulvaney, can you hear us? Fine. Well, we're ready to proceed with the argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Patrick Mulvaney. I represent Buford Earls in this appeal from the denial of his son for severe disability benefits. Buford Earls suffers from quite severe foot deformity and mycotic fungal infections, which cause him to have severe pain in his feet. His toes, feet, and ankles hurt all the time, except when he's lying down and elevating his feet. Severe episodes led him to crawl to and from the bathroom and around his home. His combined impairments are equal in severity to the level of disability presumed by several listed impairments. Earl's combined foot deformities never equal listing 109B, which basically requires evidence of anatomical deformity with loss of major function. The evidence shows that he had radiographic evidence of deformities associated with vascular changes such as effusion, capsulitis, and tendonitis of both feet. He had painful arch cramping and standing, which caused him to have loss of exertional function due to limitations in standing, walking, and sitting. He had inner twisted pronation deformities of both feet and unstable left ankle. The deformities caused the development of painful tylosis requiring surgical excision. Earl's combined hypertension and chest pain better equal listing score of 3-4-4 because the other showed multiple leads of high blood pressure, cardiac endorphin damage of a septal infarct, abnormal EKG readings of rotary polarization, V1-2 reversals, swelling in his legs and feet, and pain in his chest and down his left arm. Earl's mycotic fungal infections better equal listing 8-4, which requires evidence of deep mycotic infections. The evidence shows that Earl's had deformed clinically mycotic nails of both feet due to a mycotic fungal infection. The ALJ found that his foot pain limited him to standing for only 15 minutes at a time for 1 hour in an AR day. Claimed he was totally disabled by pain. Social Security ruling 96-17 requires the ALJ to consider evidence of his ALJ ignored or rejected. ALJ ignored evidence of his daily activities in which he spends most of his time lying down and elevating his feet. ALJ minimized factors that precipitate aggravated symptoms such as standing, walking, and sitting. ALJ ignored other measures that he used to relieve pain such as lying down, elevating his feet, and crawling. ALJ's determination does not comply with the rule's requirements. The ALJ ignored the evidence that proves Earls is totally disabled by pain. Buford Earls testified that he was disabled because he had pain in his feet, ankles, and up through his legs, and that he had pain in his chest and shoulders and ribs. His doctor told him he had a problem with his circulation. He had pain in his back and the thoracic region, and was told to limit his activities because of the chest pain. He would become short of breath and would perspire. He participated in a rehabilitation program at the hospital. He had foot pain with being on his feet and with walking and sitting. The pain improved when he was lying down and elevating his feet. He believed his foot pain problem was worsening. He now had unbearable foot pain after walking 2 blocks and after standing for about 15 minutes. He had worked for 21 years as a printer but had stopped because of pain in his feet and legs. He would have to leave work early to go home to lie down to try to stop the pain. He had spent 7 years in the Army and had been discharged from service benefits building for his feet. He was fired from his last printing job from the 2 days of work. some days she'd have to leave early, and other days she could not go to work. If he had been on the street too much, he would not be able to move at all for a day or so. He had chest pain that went down his arm when he overexerted himself, which is when he was lifting and carrying groceries. When he was walking down the street, his feet would start hurting before his chest hurt. His foot pain also involved his ankles, especially the left ankle. When he walked, he would stumble and twist his ankles. He tried not to do any heavy lifting. The most he could pick up, he left 10 pounds. When he was sitting, he would elevate his feet. The elevating helped with the swelling in his feet. He would also soak his feet to relieve the pain. At home, he did not sit or sit most of his time lying down on the couch, bed, or on the floor with his feet propped up on a pillow. After sitting for about 45 minutes, he would be more comfortable and would have to change his position. Orthotics had helped his feet, but he continued to have painful foot problems. The evidence of Barbara Douglas reapproved and also totally disabled by pain. The commissioner argues that the ALJ's admissions are irrelevant, because even if he had considered all of the evidence would not prove disability. But that argument asks this court to speculate on the ALJ's unsupported assumptions, which this court has refused to do in several cases similar to this case, in which this court reversed in a manner because the ALJ's findings were contrary to the evidence, or the ALJ ignored pain evidence proving disability, or the ALJ's decision was illogical and erroneous. Whitney versus Schreiber, both back pain, chest pain, arthritis in both knees, where the claimant spent most of her time lying down. See Francisco B. Bowen, involved leg pain, numbness in feet, chest pain, walking limited to one block, and standing limited to 10 or 15 minutes. No one who saw them involved pain in the legs and feet. Sure, if he saw them involved foot problems due to bunions, hammer toes, and arthritis. In the feet, Green V. Applin involved chest pain, shortness of breath, arthritis, and swollen leg. Clifford V. Applin involved knee, back, hand, foot pain. High blood pressure, arthritis, and impairments. Zabowski V. Halter involved back, neck, leg pain, sitting and standing limited to 20 minutes. This ALJ made the inconsistent findings at the hearing and found that if Rose could stand for only 1 hour per day, he would be considered disabled by Social Security. In his decision, however, the ALJ found that he could stand for only 1 hour every hour day, but then found he could perform some sedentary level jobs but was not disabled. Social Security regulations, however, define sedentary work as requiring a person to stand for up to 2 hours every hour a day. Because Rose cannot do this, he should be found disabled from all sedentary work. This first standard refers similarly to the system of ALJ findings and requires a personal investigation. Thank you.
Hearing none, we'll turn to Mr. Goldstein.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. While Mr. Earl's application was pending, he worked for a landscaping service and a hospital escort service. He wanted to work as a mechanic and as a barber. Notwithstanding his abilities and aspirations, he alleged he could stand for only 15 minutes at a time, walk for 2 blocks, and lift 10 pounds. The ALJ allowed Mr. Earls his alleged limitation and found that the rest of the workday, Mr. Earls could sit. At the hearing, Mr. Earls said he could sit for only 1 hour at a time, but he couldn't sit any longer because he had a cyst in his buttocks. The cyst was actually in his leg. It had been removed. It had been removed in 1998, and after it was removed, he never alleged to his doctors any pain in that area, which might affect his ability to sit. He alleged his ability to due to back pain, and said he had to crawl to the bathroom on one occasion or on several occasions, but except for a brief period of time of a couple of months shortly after an automobile accident, he did not even allege back pain to doctors, and even at that time of the accident and thereafter, the musculoskeletal and neurological findings were consistently normal. He alleged that he had to lie down and elevate his legs due to foot pain, but no doctor ever recommended that he do that, and repeated examinations of his feet had normal findings, including a normal electromyogram, showing no neurological difficulties or no neurological abnormalities. Motor function, sensory function, muscle strength, reflexes, and neurovascular status were repeatedly intact. And no abscesses or ulcers on his feet. He walked okay without assistance. He didn't have a limp. He didn't require a cane or any other type of ambulatory aid. And the ALJ recently found, based on these findings or this medical evidence, along with the other evidence in the record, that Mr. Earls did not need to lie down or elevate his legs. He alleged chest pain, but his doctor simply told him not to overexert himself, which would be consistent, again, with the ALJ's finding for a limited range of sedentary work. So, in sum, the ALJ reasonably found that Mr. Earls could stand for 15 minutes at a time and walk for not more than two blocks at a time, like Mr. Earls alleged, and that he could sit for the rest of the day. Mr. Earls also alleged that he met several listings, listing 1.09 for amputation or anatomical deformity, but I'll briefly run through these. He didn't have traumatic loss of muscle mass or tendons or loss of major function. He alleged in listing 8.04 for deep mycotic infections. The only mycotic infection he had was on his toenail, some toenail fungus. Also, he didn't have any lesions. The listing explicitly requires extensive fungating, ulcerating lesions, and Mr. Earls does not allege, nor is there any evidence that he had such lesions. Listing 4.04B for ischemic heart disease requires the inability and inability to perform stress testing, and Mr. Earls was able to exercise over 12 METs, or metabolic units, which is the equivalent of playing basketball or football. Also, so several other findings that required by the listing, Mr. Earls is missing. In sum, the ALJ reasonably evaluated Mr. Earls' impairments. The ALJ's decision is supported by substantial evidence and is legally correct, and we would ask the court to affirm that decision.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Mulvaney?
Counsel for the commissioner is at a very, very good brief, but this in no way compares to the job done by the ALJ. And in pages 6 through 9 of my reply brief, I have kind of a detail for each item of pain evidence which the ALJ ignored. It is our position that if the ALJ had considered all the pain evidence, he would have found the claim to be totally disabled because his RFC did not permit elevating the legs or lying down. And ruling 96-17 requires that the ALJ consider that evidence. That's all we have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Mulvaney. The case will be taken under advisement.
Thank you.